Good morning and welcome to the Drag Drive Repeat News presented by Summit Racing for April 27th, 2024. Guys, we've got a crazy show today. We've got, we're going to cover tornadoes and dragon drives. Absolutely insane. The Circuit 2024 class winners. And we're going to ask, what in the heck is Mike Finnegan building? Eric, hit the intro video, dude. Let's get this thing going, man.
All right, let's do it.
Dude, let's get this thing going. My name is Mike Narks. I am the host of the Drag Drive Repeat News, which you guys are watching right now, and the Drag Drive Repeat Show, and the host of or promoter for the Circuit Dragon Drive, which happened just this last weekend. It feels like yesterday and a month ago at the same time. Mr. Eric White, introduce yourself. Tell them what you got going on, dude.
I am Eric White. I am co-host for both the show and the news. I do some photography, some graphic design work, just a little bit of everything. And I run my own channel, which is 815 LSX Swaps.
Man, busy guy. We were talking about it before the show, how much stuff you have on your plate. I want to give a huge shout out to Big Sky Race Week for I don't want to say allowing you to do some artwork, but maybe hiring you to do some artwork for them and that event that's coming up here in just about 6 weeks, man. It's pretty intense. We're going to talk about upcoming events in the next Drag Drive Repeat Show, which happens on Wednesday nights. Alrighty. Well, guys, let's kick this thing off. Let's say thank you to you guys, our race car friends. You guys are absolutely amazing. You make this whole world go round for us. We can't do this without you guys. It truly is a blessing to have you guys around here. And we can't do this without our sponsors, Summit Racing, Molly Motorsports, Driven Racing Oil, Car Chains 3D, Performer Built Transmissions, Howard's Cams, Sweet Patina, Racing Junk Classifieds, and our newest media partner, Power Tube TV. Y'all, these guys are really what make a lot of the travel happen. We need our race car friends to help us get the word out. We need our sponsor friends to help us get to the events. That's the way that works. And one way you can do that is what we call the gentleman's agreement. Here's the deal. We love what we do. We'll work hard on this side to continue to do that, but it's not free. It's very hard, very time consuming, and takes a lot of money to travel around. So guys, gentleman's agreement is we'll continue to do this. If you will hit that follow or subscribe button on your side, we would appreciate that. All right, dude, let's get into it, man. I'm telling you, Summit Racing, wait till you see these pictures I have here in just a second. Let me get this ad read done, and I'll show you the pictures of Justin. Summit Racing Speed Legacy began in 1968 as a one-man startup and is now the world's speed shop with 4 facilities and 200-plus catalog editions. Fueling your passion, they save you money, deliver fast, and offer top-notch customer service for more than 1,500 brands. In 2014, they launched the Summit Racing mobile app for easy access to speed parts. Find them on Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. Also, you can tune into the On All Cylinders podcast for more automotive discussions. From humble origins to the social media lane, Summit Racing stands by your need for speed, and they also stand by your need for laughter. Dude, did you see this right here?
I did.
Just, you're my hero, man. This is hilarious. They're a great follow on, obviously, on all social, and they always have a ton of fun with stuff like this. So shout out to them for doing this, having some fun with it. Again, you can find, you know, Summit Racing on all social media apps. I see a lot of it from Facebook, because they do a ton of comments like, you know, what's your latest car project, blah, all the cool stuff that they do over there. So big shout out to them.
And I'll be honest, I didn't know what those photos were from until this morning. So for those that don't know, that's a Taylor Swift's album cover.
Yeah. Yeah. It's this is hilarious.
Yeah.
It's hilarious, man.
Actually, just before the show, I was sitting out with the wife watching TV and something had popped up with that. And I was like, oh, it all makes sense now. Now I understand where those photos came from.
That's why it's funny. Yeah. See, yeah. I have two almost teenage. I have one almost teenage daughter and one teenage daughter. So yeah, we know all about this thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Great stuff. Great stuff. All right. Well, if you want to do the Driven ad read, we'll get into some of the event updates.
All right. Why gamble with performance or protection when you get proven results from Driven Racing Oil? Trusted by top engine builders, winning racers, and devoted horsepower enthusiasts around the world, Driven takes legendary base oils such as the ones from Bradford, Pennsylvania, which comprise their GP1 line. Then Driven boosts that superior base with state-of-the-art additive packages. Driven's GP1 Nitro 70 not only provides anti-wear protection, but can even shield cylinders from washout and fuel dilution caused by using methanol or nitro-based fuels. Learn more about Driven Racing Oil by following them on Facebook and Instagram at Driven Racing Oil, or shop now at drivenracingoil.com.
I know, that's right. I want to see some nitro in some drag and drive life.
And we got Rich here saying, love my GP1 Driven Oil.
Yes, perfect. Rich Guido, if that dude doesn't put it to the test, I don't know who will. Well, guys, it's the last few days to vote for Sick Week in the top 10 motorsports events with USA Today. This is a big deal. The reason this is a big deal is because it shines a lot of light on the drag and drive community. So make sure you jump over there. You can go to Sick the Magazine on Facebook and find the link, or I'm sure they've got it on Sick the Magazine website. This is, again, a big deal for us because they are going up against events like, you know, the Indy 500, the Daytona 500, the U.S. Nationals for NHRA. I mean, there's a lot of huge events in there. And for a drag and drive event to even be mentioned in that whole mix is a huge win for the entire community, but especially for Sick Week and Sick the Magazine. So if you haven't done it yet, jump over there and vote. I mean, going up against those things, if we even are on the podium, I think it would be awesome. As small as the drag and drive community is, to come out in force like that. You can vote on this every day. So today's the 27th. You can vote today, tomorrow, and the 30th. Yeah, something like that. So you got those 3 or 4 days. So let's get in there, get some votes put in on that. And then next event is the Texas Cruise and Chill. This is May 4th and 5th. And guys, they need signups. If you are in the Texas area, this is going to be at Texas Motorplex and Extreme Raceway Park. This is 8th Mile Racing. This is going to be, I think, a lot of fun. This is put on by drag and drive racers, so they understand the process that goes along with this, and they're working through the logistics. With such a small car count right now, they're really leaning on racers that are out there to see if they can, to see what they want to do. You know, do you want to have a short drive? Do you want to have a long drive? Do you want to, you know, race both tracks in one day? I don't know. They've got a lot that they're working on there, but currently they need racers to get this event done. There's somewhere currently around 10 cars signed up, maybe 12 as of this morning. So
where's Pat Cook at? Get him in there.
Yeah, right. I don't know if he could ride the motorcycle back up there. We're going to talk about him in just a minute with the circuit racer updates. But this here, great opportunity for somebody because King of the Open Road was canceled this weekend. So this is our only other drag and drive event until June. So this would be a good opportunity for folks that want to jump in on a weekend event. This is a Saturday, Sunday deal. Again, race one day, drive, race the next day. So it should be a good thing. Four classes: Outlaw, Super Street, Hot Street, and Real Street. Real Street is the hard tire class, essentially 200 treadwear and above. So that's one thing we are going to look at for the circuit for 2025 is, do we lower the hard tire? Because usually it's a 250. Do we lower it to a 200? Because that kind of follows the rules of hard tire classes. So we're going to look at all that stuff. Two passes on Saturday for Texas Cruise and Chill. Set the ladder for a Sunday shootout. So kind of like Heads Up Hustle. In the sense that you are racing for an average, and then that average will set your ladder. So pretty cool.
Yep.
And then Cruise and Lose is happening right now. You guys can see this here. Some pictures. I want to show you this next one, though. Yes, that is tornadoes. Yeah. Yes, these were taken by Cruise and Lose participants. Pretty intense.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah. So there's a lot of shots over there on the Cruise and Lose public Facebook group. Pretty crazy stuff, man. I'll tell you, I want to give a big shout out to them for going ahead and doing the event. I mean, it really was a gamble, and it looks like they're racing right now. So that's a huge win for them to get the event off, because it everybody else had to cancel. Everything in the South is canceled, or everything in the Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas region was canceled this weekend because of this these stupid rains that are coming in, that are happening right now. Actually, it's not happening here, but it's raining all over Oklahoma, all over Texas, all over Kansas. And, you know, even like Streetcar Takeover was pushed back. Everything was pushed back. It was all moved around, sadly. So congratulations and good luck to the Cruisin' Loose team for going ahead and doing that. They had 68 cars show up, so it's pretty amazing. I think that's their biggest showing ever. So that's awesome. They got all of the registration and stuff done on Friday night. So they made their drive and then, of course, drove past these tornadoes and down a little bit of gravel road. They were saying the route actually redirected when they were putting it in, like laying it out. Mm-hmm. And it put some folks on this gravel road. But here's the thing. That adds to the memories, man.
Yeah.
And if your car can't drive down a gravel road, is it really that street? Now, do you want to drive down one? Probably not. But
probably not.
Dude, like, think about that. That will always be a story you'll tell. It's just like the story in 2020 from race week when we had to go down the gravel road.
Yeah. That's the way it works.
Hey, I see Ryan in here from Performabilt Transmission saying good morning to everyone. Good morning to you, sir.
And then speaking of storms, I was talking to Tim last night about photos and stuff, and he is taking a break from the circuit photos to go chase storms and do storm photos this weekend. So
how cool.
I'll be kind of curious to see what he captures on that. It might be kind of cool to see.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see like how, you know, that guy's used to shooting fast cars. Like, how is that going to work into all that kind of stuff? Yeah. Rich Guido says gravel, ice, snow, all good. If yeah, he can drive it down all. It, you can drive down it. I promise you.
Yep.
Yep. And then on the next Drag Driver Pete show, we're going to have Zach Slevin on. He said he's going to try to come on the show for a full recap for Cruisin' Loose. So I hope we can do that. I hope that can fit into his schedule, because we'd love to have him on and tell some stories from the event. Again, it's the only event that's happening this weekend, and it's in Iowa and Nebraska. So anyone running south, again, back to the Texas Cruisin' Chill, that's an opportunity for you to jump in there.
Yep. Tim's also saying Mocan is running a Mopar only event today. If anyone wants to race today, it's not a drag and drive, but it's a race.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, it's going to be, I mean, it's a little clear. It's going to have some rain come in here in Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri here a little bit later today. So hopefully they can get most of that racing done then. All righty. And then I wanted to show the Cruisin' Loose trophies, because they always just knock these out of the park. Look at these things, man. This is like loser in training, not a loser, which means you won the class, and then softest hands. This is kind of cool. And then best honker. I love that one. Best horn. I mean, these guys are just coming out with like these great ideas with this stuff. And I love it. So congratulations to them.
Yeah. It's always cool getting those like specialized or fun trophies out there.
Yep. Yep. And then last little bit here during the Driven Racing Oil event updates is Tom and Luke are driving across the Route 66 portion, or the route for the SICK 66 race. So they're coming. They're outside of Amarillo. And I talked to Luke or messaged with Luke last night. And we're going to attempt to maybe meet up in Tulsa or Mocan. And they're driving Jim Forbes' old Nova. So, you know, a few months ago, if you'll remember, they came up on Bring a Trailer and Tom Bailey had won it. The name Tom Bailey had won that auction. And we were like, is that the Tom Bailey? It was the Tom Bailey. So it's exciting. So they're out there. Jim drove it down to Albuquerque so they could pick it up there. And Luke and Tom are driving it back. So that's a lot awesome. Of coverage on the Tom Bailey channel. Oh yeah. And on Facebook and all that kind of stuff. Super cool car. And I love that they're driving it along the route. So hopefully I can meet up with them either in Tulsa or Mocan, buy them lunch, fill the car up with gas, whatever, something like that, just to say hi and get some shots and some conversation from them. I think them driving the route, obviously, is one of the biggest things an event promoter can do, is get out there and make sure the roads are good. One, you know, that's how I knew that road, one road was really chunky. And then the next is to really, you know, do it in a cool car. That's not something I did last year. This is really neat. Yeah, Jeff Kirchick saying the car, the route, what a cool experience that must be. I'll agree 100%. That's a super neat car with a ton of really cool history, too. That car's been on a lot of drag weeks and all that stuff. So
Yeah, I seen that car at Byer, and I've got some photos of it when it was here.
And, you know, I think at that time, that year, he drove it from Arizona to wherever it started that year. I think that was mainly his thing, was driving it across, you know, to wherever the route started. So pretty neat deal. And I'm excited for them to have that and do that experience and to be out and about. Because, again, you know, we just took 150 cars, 161 cars down through that area. So everybody's kind of primed for cool cars. And then you got this car cruising. Let's go, man. I'm ready.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be fun.
Yeah. So I hope I can meet up with them. That's my goal. I told him, man, message me a time and place and I'll be there.
Yes, all right. Sir.
All right. Let's move to the Car Chains 3D segment here. So if you guys didn't know, Corey came down to hang out at the circuit all weekend. Dude, what a good time.
Oh, yeah.
I talked for about 6 minutes all weekend. But
yeah. But he was always asking what he could do to help us out, which was great to have the extra hands when we needed something.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Appreciate him a whole bunch. He brought down a lot of stickers and just supplies and all the stuff. And then he came down, and you know what I missed? I didn't make this in my notes for the announcements. Was the money to the winners of the class and stuff. So I'm going to get that check in the mail on Monday to those racers. So he increased the winner to 500. He increased second place to 300, and then third place gets 100 now.
Oh, so awesome.
Pretty awesome for the U versus U class. That's what he sponsored for the circuit 2024. And I'm sure he's got things in mind for the circuit 2025. I hope, anyways. So I want to say thanks to all the sponsors for that event: Summit Racing, Molly Motorsports, Driven Racing Oil, Car Chains 3D, of course, R&D Performance, JPM Performance, On the Spot Auto Repair, who brought us our live stream. Love those guys. Great Apparel Printing and Design, Send It Race Media, Four Eyed Performance, Olive Branch Acres, Revved Up Laser Works, and Maxon Racing. Huge list of folks, and I can't wait to add to it for the 2025 event.
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's get into why the circuit will change Drag and Drive forever.
All right.
I'm laying the groundwork for this. I know that's a bold statement, but listen, in my opinion, this is my opinion, and I've said it 100 times, regional events are meant to bring more people into the community, right? That is what we did. We had a ton of new people come to the circuit that had never done a Drag and Drive event before, and I kept telling them early on that they are going to be ruined. They will be ruined from this event simply because regional events have shorter routes typically. You know, we're 130 mile. We were 130 miles on day one, 60 miles to the racer party, and then about 160 back to the back to Mocan. So what's that? 300 miles, pretty close, 320, something like that.
Yeah.
That was the main goal of that whole thing. One, I wanted to feed everybody a whole lot. I wanted to, you know, we did that with Chicken Annie's with the pre-party. We did that with Waffle House and Waffle House and Driven Racing Oil, $500 worth of free breakfast. That was pretty amazing. And then, you know, the pizza party at the go-karts. So folks that don't know, that have not been to a week-long Drag and Drive event, you don't get to eat that often typically.
Right.
That's not how that works. So guys that did the circuit that are now like, which is our goal, how do we get them from a regional event to a national event? We want them to upgrade. We want them to do, oh man, this was a blast. I want to do a big one. I want to do Rocky Mountain Race Week. I want to do Drag Week. I want to do Sick Week, something like that. About 3 days into those national level events, and they've had about 400 calories of food, they're going to be like, man, where's Mike? where's the food? Where's the snacks? All that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
I'm really, again, I feel like it changed because we're going to see, and we see this quite a bit already, but pre-parties are becoming a bigger deal. You know, racer parties are becoming a big thing. People are, you know, cities like Rock Falls is taking cues and throwing huge parties. You know, Great Bend, Kansas did that with Rocky Mountain Race Week a couple years ago or last year. Huge deals for these towns. I mean, we're bringing in tens of thousands of dollars for these cities, and those cities can have a really good chance to have a lot of those racers back. Like, I hope Branson will. I hope there's a lot of racers that will go back to that because of the fun they had and all the stuff we drove by so we could get to the, you know, the racer party. There's a lot of stuff where a lot of guys were sending stuff back home to their wives or wives to their husbands. Hey, we're coming back here. We're coming back. This place looks like a lot of fun. So I hope that's what happens. And again, the shorter routes with a regional event, you don't need to make it too short, but I feel like 100 miles is probably about right. We had three route stops each day, and or two route stops each day that were 30 or 40 miles apart, something like that, and then a long drive. So that really helped on that side, I think, break up the monotony of just getting in your car and driving.
Yeah.
But again, 120 miles a day, those guys are going to be ruined when they go to a big one and it's like Rocky Mountain with 200 and something miles or 300 miles in a day. They're going to be like, what is happening here?
Yeah. So
I think as time goes on and we elevate as regional event promoters and those events become bigger and more solid and happen more often, I think we're going to really see a move to where we have a lot more people entering those, because right now, the biggest thing is going to a national event. Everybody wants to go for the week. Everybody wants that accolade on their shelf. They want to know that they made that big trip. But I'm telling you, this is regional events are a great way for long, like for national level event guys that typically only do that, to add an event to their schedule because it's a shorter time commitment. I mean, that's just simply the way it is. You can be gone 2 days of work as compared to, you know, seven almost.
Yeah.
All right. And then I was really surprised that people kind of enjoyed the 11 to 5 racing, which really blew my mind. I really felt it was going to be a hindrance, but I think as short as our drives were, it really worked out well because you could be done by, we were typically done by what, 4 o'clock?
Yeah, usually.
I mean, there were people left after that, but not many. You know, when we were Saturday, it was Nico and Casey. That was it that was running on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, they were trying to run around and get their times in. But other than that, I mean, I think everybody was pretty much on the road within 4 hours of being there. And now that's partially because we had 161 cars, but 4 hours seemed like a good time. And then if people were gone by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, dude, they were at the hotel or the go-kart party. I mean, they were waiting on us at six.
And it helped that we didn't have a lot of like oil downs or anything like that to slow it down, because if we had had some of them, then it would have been tight.
Yep. Then we would have needed it for sure. What's pretty interesting is Sunday, I was in the tower for about 30 minutes and we were watching cars go and just trying to make the decision. Do we cut it back to one pass needed on Sunday? And, you know, because we had cut it to 4 hours of runtime on Sunday, because initially I had felt if we start at one, I thought we'd have 130 people show up. So if we started at 130, by the time we got back on Sunday, I figured we'd be in the low one teens. Well, we weren't. But the 4 hours we sat there, I mean, everybody still got at least two passes in. Some racers got in six or seven or eight. So it worked out well. But I think if we'd had more, or like you said, had any kind of struggles, it would have been a bad downturn. We could have been way over our time.
Yeah.
Which was fine, but we still got out of there at 5:45, which was way later than I thought we were
on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's some pictures from the pre-party. Chicken Annie's put two rooms together, said 128 seats were in those rooms. I thought we'll never have that many people. Never, ever. And we filled all of it plus two more rooms. Had 205 people that we fed that night, which is a huge, I loved it. It was amazing. And then you guys can see here the 6 foot tall rooster. I hope people got a lot of pictures with that. I'd love to see those posted up. Tag me in those if you will, please. And then the Lamplighter Inn. This is such a cool shot of Chris Wozniak's Firebird. Man, that is a great shot taken by Chris. Bob Larson ended up winning a class, and obviously big wheelie there.
Yeah, always.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good time. And then Route Stops Gearhead Curios. This is Kim Keith's Camaro. He's actually won that last bit that Wednesday night before the event for On the Spot Auto Repairs racer spot. Sorry, what was Jeff saying there?
He said, unfortunately, Nick's dually motor issue and route to the circuit kept us out, and unfortunately, we haven't made it back yet.
Yeah,
I was looking forward to the short drives. One of the reasons I enjoyed Six Summer so much.
Yep. We'd love to have you guys back in 2025.
And then Rich saying, I hope more people will start driving to their local races and regional events and build confidence in their cars.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like driving your car. And Rich knows that better than anybody.
Right.
Driving it everywhere, it just creates more attention, brings more attention to it. The Waffle House stop, Danny Odom and Josh Odom's car here in front of the Waffle House. Primo, primo stop. Love those guys. And then, of course, burnouts, trailer burnouts, route stop burnouts. This here was, I don't remember where that was in front. That was probably in front of Waffle House.
Yeah, but it was.
Yep. That was a great stop, man. And what's funny is it looks like that, but if you were to turn in and fire the other way, it's a city. Like, this doesn't look like much of a city, but Felicia Smith doing a big trailer burnout there. All righty. And then go-karts, guys. The go-karts are staying. I don't care where we go for 2025, the circuit. We're going to find a spot that's got go-karts if I have to buy a bunch of go-karts and we race them in a parking lot. That was a blast.
Yes, that was a ton of fun, and so many people commented on how much they enjoyed it, and it was awesome to hear all the feedback on that.
Yeah, it was nice to be able to kind of have a moment to relax and enjoy the time with everybody. And Melissa, my wonderful wife, who's amazing and I love her, she was talking about every time she looked out on the track, Travis Wise was coming by. I think he raced 10 times. We went through 40 pizzas in like 8 minutes, and then we went through another 35 pizzas in I think 10 minutes, something like that.
Lucas here says that's me.
Yeah.
Can't believe I put a go-kart over the wall.
Yeah. Pretty impressive, man. Pretty impressive.
And
All
then Chris Wozniak in here. We
right.
just talking about you. I don't know if you saw
Yeah.
the photo of your car in there, but
Yeah. Good morning to everybody that's out there. I want to say thank you for stopping by. This here was a really cool shot. I love the handyman wagon here. Stick shift, small block Chevrolet, blower car, and no trailer. So they yard sell it every day.
yeah.
That's what it looks like when you do that. All that goes in that car to race. Hang on, Chris. We'll go back. I'll show it here real quick.
It was a super
Yeah.
cool photo. Yeah, at the that was at the Lamplighter, right?
Yep. So if you guys haven't done it yet, the Circuit Dash Charity with Horsepower is the Facebook page. You can see all these. Eric has several hundred photos that he's posted up there. Chris has a bunch of photos that he's posted up in different albums and all that kind of stuff. So make sure you're over there looking at those and tagging friends. If there's not something tagged or that picture isn't liked, please like and tag the person that's in it. We'd appreciate that.
And I think Tim just uploaded some more this morning as well.
Awesome.
So
Awesome. Awesome.
photos are that's the best part of having that many media people is the photos just keep coming, and it's cool to see that everybody was kind of in different spots, so you get different viewpoints of everybody.
I'll agree with that for sure. And then this here's prop for big shout out to Jonathan Stonecipher for finishing his first drag and drive event in the last four attempts. This right here, this is my favorite shot of his car. I'm gonna bring that up full screen. It looks so cool. The way it squats, the way it's leaving, just man, on the
He didn't
money.
really, he didn't tell anybody that that's what he was bringing prior to the event, too. He just showed up with it.
Yeah, at all. He was posting some pictures this morning in our race car friends group, and it was essentially, or no, in the Circuit Racers Facebook group. That was like April 1st. This is the car I was bringing. April 5th. This is the car I was bringing, and kind of the layout of all that. All right. And then of course the winners. If you want to, we can run down through the winner class winners here. We talked a little bit about this on the last Drag Driver Pete Show episode 60, but I figured we would give you guys the credit you're due and go through each class and talk about them and go from there. So, of course, one of our favorite racers, Mr. Brian Acton, back-to-back wins in the Street Race Power Adder class. This is a little different than every other class that's out there for street race. They have a small block and big block. We put it all into one. It makes it easier. There are like 10 or 12 cars in that class, but back to back, 8.5272 average. He gets free entry into the Heads Up Hustle event, which is right up in his neck of the woods, put on by John Paul Franks in Michigan. And then he gets free entry into the Circuit 2025 and is on the apparel and artwork for 2025, which we should have done hopefully by June. I've got to lock in the track that we're going to use, the second track that we're going to use, because obviously Mocan's going to be a track within the race. And then got to lock in the second track, and then we'll start working on artwork with our friends at Great Apparel Printing and Design with Karen and them up there. So congratulations to Brian Acton. They were really on the money. I mean, they ran an 8.50 on Sunday. And so one thing that really did that made their struggle a little harder is that typically if you are going to run an 850, you're looking for something like a 530-ish, 535-ish in the eighth. Well, on the eighth mile days at Ozark, we actually cut their minimum to 550 based on some, I would say, polling that I did. Everybody was like, I either have between a 156 second half or a 153. And so I kind of split that in the middle. That was kind of where everybody was talking about moving forward. If we ever go back to an eighth mile class or eighth mile track for one of the days of racing, we'll do 535 for the eighth, 850 for the quarter mile. It'll be easy. So they struggled a little bit with that and doing the math on that. They still ended up with an 852 average. I mean, pretty salty.
Yeah.
And then Shelby Ware's come out, first drag and drive event, really the first time him racing this car, puts down a 0.0379 spread. His eighth mile closest difference, 0.0026.
That's awesome.
That is between an eighth mile pass he made on Monday and an eighth mile pass he made on Friday, and eighth mile pass he made on Saturday. Pretty crazy. And then his closest quarter mile difference was 0.006 compared to Friday with a 11.4153 to Sunday's 11.4213.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
And it did sweet burnouts outside of Waffle House.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he definitely had a blast. Definitely had a blast. And, of course, with the upgraded money, I'll be sending him a check for $500 for winning the class. So that's exciting. And you can find all this stuff on thecircuitdnd.com. I've got a 2024 results link on there that takes you to the Google Docs. And then Bob Larson, one of our favorite guys. I mean, stick shift. In a big wheelies, he won the biggest wheelie competition, or not competition, challenge within the event. His quarter mile, best quarter mile, 11.223 in this car. He races this all the time. Been on Rocky Mountain Race Week, runs at Mocan all the time. This was a cool car to watch go down. And we followed him. Rick Dodge and I followed him. We were about four cars back coming through Branson. And for folks that don't know, Branson's like the Redneck Riviera, man. There's people all over. They're all people just walking around everywhere. It was really cool to be, I think by the time we got to the go-kart track, we were two cars behind. People were, literally breaking necks trying to see. It'd be a husband and wife or boyfriend, girlfriend walking, and the guy's just like, oh, I can't. Like he's looking, taking pictures and stuff as that car just kept coming by. It was really cool to see that. So
yeah, it was a cool car for sure.
Oh, yeah. And then, like we talked the other night, Patrick Melson basically laid out a new rule that we will move forward with. It's called Last Man Standing, because he was the only Gasser Hot Rod Power Adder car to make passes at Ozark. That obviously put him up. He is now a back-to-back winner in Gasser and Hot Rod Power Adder. What's interesting about this is that I was so busy trying to get the live stream and stuff set up, that if I had been watching the U versus U class, I could have probably moved some folks over into this class, which is something we'll talk about in the future. We'll have a way for me to denote what class is on the window by either writing it on there or some kind of sticker. And then if I see that there's only two or three or four cars in a class, I'll go around and would their car fit that class? Because obviously we're going to print the trophies. It's not like we're not going to give these trophies out. So the last man standing is a fun rule, but we want people to race all weekend to get that. But congratulations to him. And also congratulations to Chris Padgett for actually, he was in first place for that class when we left Mocan on Friday. So that was a big deal for him. You know, Patrick has always been faster than him, and he was actually a 10th faster than Patrick, almost a 10th faster than Patrick. So big shout out to Chris Padgett, who was out supporting the event. Appreciate him doing that. Sadly, just didn't make the trip to Ozark. So
I did see cool
to watch them duke it out all weekend.
Yeah, I did see a post from him. I don't know if it was this morning or last night. It doesn't sound like the car is as bad as he originally thought. So it sounds like he should have it back together this week even.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think he just needed a torque converter, and I think he said like the filter was plugged or something. So thinking that it was motor issues or like bigger trans issues, but I think sounds like he'll get it back together and be out racing it again very soon.
That's awesome, because I'm sure he's got either 1.0 or 2.0 planned for Rocky Mountain.
Yeah.
In that car for sure, because they're so close to us. And then hard tire or true radial class winner, Sean Slaybaugh, 9.237 on a hard tire, 250 tread wear or above tire. Yeah. This car got down. That was on Sunday. So obviously he didn't quite run that on Friday. And I think he was in the sixes on Saturday at Ozark. But once he got back to the track, he turned it up 9.2 on a hard tire. Dude, insane. Insane.
David Maxson here asking if the 650 class will be here to stay.
Oh, certainly. And we're going to actually look at, I'll talk about that in a minute, but we're going to look at some other classes that we could replace stuff with. So we're going to see what everybody kind of ran. We're going to see if it's worthwhile to move some things around. Like maybe some of the classes won't come back, but they'll be replaced with like an index style race or index style class. So we're going to talk about that as we go through the next couple of weeks and months as we lay out the circuit 2025. And then, so congratulations to Sean for that. That's pretty awesome. And then quick stick shift is Malachi Fox right here. Keegan Fox is the co-pilot. Total ET of 49.581. Best pass of a 10.39. So that would have bested Brandon McElroy's time last year in the 12s, which Brandon came back. I don't remember what he ran, but he came back. So 10.39 best pass. That's pretty awesome out of a stick shift car on, I would say, I mean, we had pretty good prep on Sunday. That helps a bunch.
Yeah, there's a, I don't remember what the sticker said on the back, but I got a photo of it. And there's a pretty good sticker about something to do with stick shifts on the back.
That's awesome. We'll have to look it up and find it. All right. And then Pat Cook, the man, Mr. Iron Butt himself, comes in a new bike to him, the Busa. Dude, 2,324 mile round trip on the motorcycle.
That's
the motorcycle.
That's wild. I did 1,600 in a minivan and I was beat. So
yeah
I got to imagine. Yeah, I got to imagine he's exhausted after all that.
Yes. Yes, for sure. 2,324 miles on the motorcycle, rode almost 900 miles straight through on the way home.
Yep.
Straight through.
Here's Chris actually now saying converter trashed itself. Custom one ordered. Trans will be back together this coming week. Engine is fine.
Yes, that is great news. That is great news to hear. All righty. So congratulations to Pat Cook. He's my hero as well. That's absolutely crazy. I've ridden sport bikes a lot in the past. About 250 miles is all I wanted ever in a single day. And he put almost 900 on. So, and that's what's leaving at like 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. So he rode 900 miles all night. He said, he said, man, a hotel room sounded fine, but my bed sounded better. So I kept going.
Yeah.
Crazy. John Paul Franks, creator of Heads Up Hustle, brought his car down with a backup engine and destroyed all motor small block. Just came swinging. And I can't wait until he gets the new motor put together. He's really going to give Jason Tapp's got a run for the money. I'm telling you, Jason's got a target, and it's good. It's good that he's got it on there, because it's going to be a lot of fun watching all this go down. John Paul Franks, total of a 41.182 elapsed ET for the entire weekend. Best pass of a 9.6032 in the quarter mile. Best eighth mile, 6.0991. Crazy.
Yeah, the car sounded great too.
Oh man,
sounded great. Looked great.
Yep. High RPMs. This photo does it zero justice because it's a little dirty, but there's a lot of really good shots that Eric took and that Tim here at Go Fast took earlier than this or later than this to get the car all cleaned up. Really cool car. Love the car. John Paul's going to be on with us Wednesday night to talk about his circuit experience, Heads Up Hustle, and we're going to tag team him with Jonathan Stonecipher to talk about naturally aspirated stuff.
That ought to be good. Kind
of fun. Yeah, those guys, you know, are authorities in that sense, in that we don't know anything about any of that stuff. So it's really cool to see John Paul bring that car down. I see he's in here this morning. Thanks for watching, bud. Appreciate that a bunch. That car was really cool, man. I really enjoyed watching it. And then our buddy John Doherty from Gearhead Perspective won the all motor big block class in a car that they were literally putting together Thursday night. They were still working on it Thursday night to get this thing here. They were welding floor pans in the Sunday before. They were wiring up. They had a ton of stuff that they were doing to get this car ready. So congratulations to them. That is awesome. I can't wait to see this car really get down as it goes forward. Best pass, 10:46:46, best quarter mile ET in that. Total time of 45.9. So, you know, in all motor, all out, all motor, everything, John Paul Franks would have just destroyed that as well.
Yeah, that car was loud when it was coming down the track. I knew when it was up and I was standing on the big end, I could hear it coming rumbling down.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love those guys. He was a great time to hang out with all weekend. Just had a blast with him. Yeah. So part of our stuff is obviously those are quarter mile classes. We do have some eighth mile classes, which I really enjoy. Tiny tire stuff, 235 eighth mile winner Brad Long came out swinging. 5:52 average for the weekend because everything was eighth mile again. This is across five passes, best pass of a 5:38.89. I think he did that at Ozark on Saturday. Pretty cool. Fast car. You could look at this car and not know that it was nearly that fast.
Right.
Which that's kind of my jam. I enjoy that a lot. The fender, the bumper dump would probably help with that, but super cool car. Liked it. It went, it worked well. It just goes down. And then Eric Kuhn in probably the cleanest car, nicest car on the property, man.
Yeah. This was probably one of my favorite cars there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everywhere,
my favorite.
Yeah. Everywhere I went there, you just couldn't not get a good photo of it, whether it was on the track, at a route stop, anywhere it sat, it just made for great photos. So I've got a ton of pictures of that car.
That's awesome. So Eric came out average of a 5.2466 in the 275 tire class, eighth mile again, and then best pass of the weekend, 5.148. Pretty impressive, man. That car has been on a ton of Rocky Mountain race weeks, and it just works. It's so clean, so nice. And then we heard David Maxson talking about 650 index. Yeah, this class is here to stay big time. Here's a 16 cars in this class and one of the tightest races in all of the event. Dustin Peterson won this class, 6.5136 average with a best pass of a 6.5014.
Yeah.
A lot of that car too. Five zeros. Oh man, this car.
Roof rack.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I'm a big fan. This car is, again, one of my favorites. I love that it's so competitive in 650. You know, Abby Larson right behind him. We talked about this on Wednesday night with the folks from Central Victorian. If we had used their top, Dustin's and Abby's top three passes from the event, they would have been 0.0001 difference.
Wow.
It's crazy. So they really laid it out. And of course, big shout out to Jared Aspergren. I don't know. I'm ruining that name. I apologize. But he had a perfect pass of the class with a 6.5 0.0. Pretty awesome.
You said that was the first pass, right?
Yeah, I think that was the first pass. Not the first pass of the event because Red Hat Scotty and Keith Jackson ran down the track, but they were actually under because they were racing each other side by side all the way down. And then, we're definitely going to do that. I see Chris Padgett here talking about maybe a 580 or 590 or 6.0 index. Yes, I'm looking at all that stuff. So there's a lot of opportunity that's coming there. Give me just a second. We're going to talk about that. Unlimited, one more class, unlimited, fastest class of the event, which is what it is supposed to be. Unlimited is supposed to be your fast cars, and it certainly was. Jim Parkinson won that with a 5.2008 average. Congratulations to him. And then best pass of the event, 5.119, best pass of his event, but also quickest eighth mile of the event at all.
Yes. So that's going to be the other vehicle on the shirt with Brian Acton's Nova.
That's right. So it's going to look crazy. It's going to look great for 2025. And again, he gets free entry into the circuit 2025. So pretty awesome. So let's talk about index stuff. Yes, I am definitely open to looking at other index classes as well as that one did. I really didn't figure we were going to have that many cars in that class, but it worked very, very well. And I kind of like that stuff with the 850 stuff. And then you can't go faster than that. Really makes it interesting. We're going to look at the index racing, but I also want to add a bullseye type class where you can run over and under. So I'm going to look at what that should be. I may almost do the over under like a like the U versus U class, to where it would be something that everyone could get in if they wanted to just come out and race and have fun, try and hit that target of their fastest pass on day one. So we're going through a lot of different class ideas right now, but definitely index stuff is in there simply because I want the car counts up in those classes. You know, we had a few classes that only had two or three, four or five cars in them. Definitely want more competition within classes. We want to really have folks laying it on the line, trying to go as fast as they can. And that is probably the struggle with index stuff, is you have a guy that can run 580s, right? But he slows his car down to 650. To me, that may not be as much fun, right?
Yeah.
So it gives him an opportunity to be competitive in a class that maybe that class would run away from him. But at the same time, if he had a class that fit maybe in that range. So we've got some plans for, you know, I want to go back through, I want to look at what people were running. I want to see all those times. I want to kind of gather some things up, because there were a lot of cars that I felt like we could almost have done like a 16 car shootout at the end, because everybody was so close with their overall AT. I don't want to do a shootout unless it was some kind of four car grudge match, have some fun, everybody being so close on the end for some extra money. I don't want it to take away from the event or anything like that, because we are on such a limited time. But if we could set up, you know, a four car shootout's two races.
Yeah.
So if we can set up some grudge racing to where it's the top, maybe it's, let's use 650 index as an example. Well, say maybe Chris Padgett runs a real hard 650 as well, but he's in, you know, Gasser, Hot Rod, Power Adder. Well, if he's close to that, these guys are close to that, you know, can we mix something that would be in the same realm as a, I don't know, four car, maybe eight. I really don't think eight though. We'll just have to see. I'm open to ideas and I'm open to having some fun, but definitely get some kind of thing that we could work in the afternoon on Sunday, to where those guys are going to be making passes that count towards their average, but also are maybe for a little extra bragging rights or some money, something like that.
There you go.
Yeah. So I do want to give a big shout out, say thank you so much to Travis Wise for doing this. This is completely unknown to me. It's really cool. Thank you all for signing that. Thank you so much for doing that for me. That is going up in the shop today. Really one of the coolest things. I obviously don't do this event for any kind of thing like that, but it's really, really neat to get that. So thank you so much for everybody signing it. I mean, that'll be on my shop wall forever, you know. It'll move houses if I ever move.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I know I got a chance to sign it and kind of see in all the different states there, and everybody kind of signing it where they're from was really cool.
That's pretty neat. Yep. I really appreciate that from everybody to take the time out of their day to do that for me. All right. I'm working on the circuit 2025 already. I kind of have a plan. We talked about that a little bit ago. I kind of have a plan of the track I would like to use in addition to Mocan. I've just got to get that worked out. I think we're probably 6 to 8 weeks from being able to do that, because there's some other schedules that I don't want to mix up. I want to have, you know, I've been doing a lot of work with Midwest Drag Race Series. I'm going to continue to do that in 2025. So I don't want to have a double schedule that same weekend like it would have been this year, which would have sucked. So got to get with those guys, Keith Haney and all that team, to figure out when their events are going to start, what the date, you know, dates should be for the Midwest Drag Race Series. And then we'll kind of work that around the circuit and see availability of the tracks. I've got down to a short list on that. So we have a plan in the works. I'm open to listening to where you want to go. The biggest thing is the racer party. So I had a lot of people say Mid-America. There's nothing to do around Mid-America at all. So we're probably not going to go there, because I really want to do some kind of big racer party. So we're looking at bigger cities, you know, maybe Kansas City or Tulsa, or there was another spot I was looking at that wasn't out of the way. Anyways, we're looking at those kind of places so we can have go-karts. I mean, dude, it was just so much fun. So anyways, that's where we're at on there. And I appreciate everybody for being, with us here. I think I've got our stuff messed up here behind the scenes. Yep, I sure do. All right, so we're gonna move through some stuff real quick. Sorry, guys. All right. Do you want to thank our race car friends and we'll start getting stuff together?
Yeah, absolutely. As always, thanks to everybody in the chats, everybody watching, everybody that came out to the event, everybody that donated money for the circuit. That was a huge thing. I know we talked about that on Wednesday night about all the money raised. So again, we can't do that without all of you guys and your support. And of course, our sponsors, we can't do it without them. Summit Racing, Molly Motorsports, Driven Racing Oil, Car Chains 3D, Performabilt Transmissions, Howard's Cam, Sweet Patina, Racing Junk, and our newest media partner, PowerTube TV.
That's right. Well, guys, if you don't know, Performabilt Transmissions is our transmission of choice for the Drag Driver Pete family. I see David Maxson here tagging Flying H Drag Strip and Blake Housley. I get to hang out with Blake the 11th for Midwest Drag Race Series Throwdown in T-Town. Yeah, we need the circuit in Odessa next year. I mean, I'm definitely open to talking to them. There is a K1 speed there in Kansas City. So, all right. Let's talk about Performabilt transmission segment, guys. If you don't know Performabilt, Ryan is a boss when it comes to transmission building. They are the official transmission builder of Drag Driver Pete, and love those guys. We've had him on the show a couple times. We're going to have him back on in the next coming weeks. If you're not following on their YouTube stuff, man, there is a ton of great content over there. How to build a 4L60 to handle power, how to tear one apart, all that kind of stuff. He really dives deep into showing you how to do things, but then also if you get stuck, you can ship it to them. They'll build you just a rock solid 4L60 or 4L80, whatever you would like to do. They specialize in GM transmission, so Turbo 400 and Turbo 350 stuff as well. They actually have a 4L60 in Howie Price's 5,000 pound Mercury wagon that is the most gorgeous car, Sheila's dream I've ever seen. I love it. And Ryan interviewed Howie and Robbie Price in a recent video, dude. I think we kicked that off, to be honest. I think us talking to Ryan made him jump in and do some interviews with some of the customers that he's had on there. Obviously, he talked to Nick Schaaf a few weeks ago, and now he put out a video yesterday or day before with Howie and Robbie Price talking about Sheila's Dream, the big wagon that's out there. They give a huge rundown of the car, the history, and a lot of underhood shots of like the plumbing. They used a lot of copper pipe for plumbing for like the radiator and all of the hard lines for brake lines and things, or brake lines, vacuum lines, vent lines, all that stuff. And they're pretty cool setup. And then I thought they were running more than this, but Howie said they're running a 200 shot right now and said they're probably going to go to 250 this year for stuff to try and, make the car go faster, obviously. But they're building everything to prepare for twin turbos in 2025. So I can't wait to see under the hood of that car with twin turbos.
Yeah, there's so much room under there that those
Oh.
twin turbos are going to fit perfect.
Yes, that is for sure. So that's a great one from Performabilt Transmissions. Go watch that video. It was awesome to see them and just to hear. I mean, it's like 40 minutes or something like that, 30, 40 minutes. And to talk about the car, talk about how the transmissions lived. And that car is 5,000 plus pounds and runs tens. I mean, that's a lot of car to move that kind of fast. All right. Next up, so this is the video of them. Obviously, you can find it on Facebook and on the YouTube channel as well. Great stuff there. And then Adam Dory jumped on with Cooper Bogetti, episode 90 on the Cooper Bogetti podcast.
Dude, 90 episodes. That's so
90.
awesome.
Yeah, he's had a ton of great guests on, ton of great conversations. This one, obviously, you can see an hour and 48 minutes. I grabbed this shot 13 minutes in. This is right after he was talking about us, you and I. He's
I
talking about us.
know.
It's pretty neat to hear those guys kind of, name drop us even, and talk about
Right.
the show and all the stuff that we're doing, which is kind of cool. But a lot of great conversation in this. I obviously listened to the whole thing last night while I was editing videos and making notes and things. This show here, Cooper does a great job of leading the conversation, but letting it go where it is headed, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
A lot of times the notes we make, we kind of try and stay on track, but this was an easy hour and 48 minutes. So if you have the time, if you're a podcast person, like I think everybody probably should be, instead of listening to the same 40 songs, This is a great one to listen to. And 90 episodes, dude, he's got a ton of good stuff. A lot of great guests that we in the Drag and Drive community would care about. There's some other stuff in there that he does where I'm like, but it's good. He does a great job with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
And then Adam Dory's got so many stories to tell. It's, you know, like you said, in an hour and what was it, 40, 45 minutes, 48 yep. minutes? Like he can tell stories for that time easily. So
oh yeah.
It's a good listen.
Yep. Yeah, that's for sure. And then up next, obviously, what the heck is Mike Finnegan building, dude?
Have you watched any of this stuff? I watched a little bit of it, and to be honest, I was a little surprised when he revealed that car. It was not what I was expecting to see.
Yeah, yeah, at all. And it's really interesting. So it's a Lexus LC500, which in my opinion is way out of his ballpark. Wait, not ballpark, realm. You know, not ballpark. Yeah. Like way out of what he normally does, which I think is really good because it's going to show that he's not just an old school hot rod dude that likes to do that stuff. Cause he puts a lot of late model engines and things and all that stuff. But I've always seen him as an old car guy. So this is going to be kind of interesting to see him wheeling this thing down. But yeah, the newest video is him putting the engine in and kind of crazy. So obviously people figured it out in the chat or in the comments on the video, what it was and how everything was laid out in the videos and pictures and all that stuff, but really a cool deal. I can't wait to see this thing out and about. And I mean, the way he talks about it, it's going to be a drag and drive car. Like he's putting windows and regular windows back in it and all that kind of stuff.
Did you get a shot of the actual car in here?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Yeah. It's white, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Super cool, man. It's going to be, I'm a big fan of this style, just completely throwing norms to the wayside and going all in on something like this. Car was built to be, what really threw me off is in this part of the video, he's talking about how it was small block Ford powered. And I'm like, what is this thing? Cause I had not seen the comments yet. I'm like trying to figure it out, looking at it, I'm like, man, what lays back the window that hard that would be something that he would be building. So.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of these kind of import cars coming into the scene. Yeah. Like, you know, especially with the Street Outlaws, you know, you've got Justin Swanstrom with his Lexus, and then you've got Dave with the Audi. So it's kind of cool seeing some different body styles and different cars coming in.
Yeah, I agree. This is going to be an interesting build here and see when it comes out on the whole mix. All right. Yeah,
we might have to reach back out to him as he gets further with that car and maybe starts to get ready for a drag and drive and see if we can get him back on the show and talk about when he's planning on participating with that vehicle.
Oh yeah, certainly. That'll definitely be one of the first people we talk to as that car gets ready to go there. All right. Well, let's talk about Racing Junk this week.
Yeah, huge, so
excited about this. Go ahead.
Yeah, you had sent me something just recently, and I thought this was pretty cool. So tell us a little bit about what Racing Junk has set up for, not only for us, but for everybody in this community.
Oh yeah. So you guys know we use Racing Junk as the official buy sell trade. Like we don't run a buy sell trade page because it's too much hassle. So Racing Junk Classifieds came on early on board and we love it. It's easier to search. It's great. If you're out needing parts, you can find them right there. When you're on a drag and drive, you can search under your area. Well, our contact, Bobby, I had been talking to him and one of the ladies there that does a lot of the back end stuff for several months and was like, hey, you know, they were asking, what are we looking for? What can we do to help? You know, and so we worked through artwork and all that kind of stuff. But guys, they came through. Do you see in the top right hand corner of that? You can now actually in your listing put drag and drive as a category that it would come up on. Now, this just happened literally within the last day and a half.
Yeah.
Because the first car that is on there is this 1,000-wheel horsepower Mustang.
Yep. Pretty unfortunately, it's early access, so I wasn't even able to check that one out yet until it goes live.
Yep. Yep. So this was, I grabbed this picture yesterday when I sent it over to you. I was making notes for the show. This is really, really cool, guys. This is a big move from a big company that handles a lot of I mean, obviously that's all they do is buy, sell, trade. That's all they do. They have one of the largest sites on the planet for that kind of stuff. Lots of racing stuff in there. Obviously racingjunk.com is their website. That's the name of it. This is a big deal because it just shows to the masses, hey, what is drag and drive? There's a lot of hot rod guys that still don't know about a drag and drive. And now they're going to be searching for their next project or searching for parts, searching for all that kind of stuff. And they're going to see drag and drive as a category. And they're going to go in there and they're going to be like, what is this? They're going to see these cars or these engines or these transmissions or whatever, these trailers that are going to be available on there. This is really a great deal. So congratulations. Thank you so much to Racing Junk for making that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, you want to jump into what I found this week on Racing Junk?
Yeah, dude, let's do it.
All right. So this first one, look at this. Buick Grand National, Florida titled RPE engine, 60,000.
Man, that is awesome looking.
If you don't like the looks of that, I just don't know.
Yeah, we can't be friends if you don't like that.
I mean, look how clean that is. Just a great looking car. Turbo.
Huge turbo.
Yeah, big turbo. I think, I saw this picture.
Wow.
So, full interior. Some Speedwire electronics there.
Oh,
very, very good looking car. And then this is just some pictures about the build of the engine. Parachute on the back there. Yeah.
That's nice. That is nice.
It's a 87 Buick Grand National. It's been modified for drag racing use, powered by a turbocharged 274 cubic inch V6 that was built by RPE Performance Engines of Hartford, Connecticut under the previous ownership.
Sweet. So
three-speed TH400, Reed Racing case, precision 88mm turbo, Carrillo pistons, Mosier axles, roll cage, aftermarket suspension, Weld racing wheels, aerospace components, disc brakes, Corbair seats, Elite Racing harness, 5-gallon fuel cell, and a fast XFI ECU and a parachute.
Sweet.
So you can see there's
a nice car.
You can see there's a lot more information, interior, exterior, drivetrain, about the engine build. So very, very nice car. Looks like it was very well built.
Mm-hmm.
And then this next one was very interesting when I saw that. 6-second street car.
Dude, 72,000. Somebody needs to buy that thing. Holy jeez. I know you can't build it for that.
Right. So this was it was Boo King Racing was who owned it. This was Canada's fastest legal street car.
That's crazy. The nuclear banana.
Yeah. So it looks like I'm not familiar with this racer, but decided to hang up the suit, retire the nuclear banana. All the related items are for sale.
Man, that's wild.
Yeah. Yep, so this is 200-mile-an-hour, 6-second street car, has won numerous events over the years, such as being named Canada's fastest street car at the shootout in July 2006 at Toronto Motorsports Park, with a repeat win in July 2015 at St. Thomas Raceway Park.
Wow.
These events were hosted by RPM Magazine. The car also had a second place finish at Orlando World Street Finals in 1994. It's been featured in Hot Rod Magazine in January of 94, February of 96, and April of 97, and RPM Magazine several times over the years. Turnkey operation, lots of extras, SS Camaro Outlaw Pro Street titled and certified. Again, you can go through here and see all the information on that car. 2,000 plus horsepower.
Jeez. Wow.
So not only is it
crazy.
Not only is it a 6-second street car, but when you look in here, what I just read, like look at the history on this.
Yeah.
You know, magazines.
of history.
Yeah.
As a badass street car. Wow.
Yep. Yep. So obviously this is why we love racing junk. As soon as I found this one, I knew this one was going to be one that I was going to show. This one was too cool not to bring up, and the history and everything about it was just awesome.
Wow. That's impressive. Great finds, dude. Great finds. Yeah. And that's why I like racing junk. It's just so easy to find that stuff and anywhere in the world. That's in Canada. The other one was in Illinois or something like that.
Florida.
Yeah. So, it's crazy. That's great stuff. All right. Well, guys, that's the show. We do have some fun stuff coming up. We have, hang on. Did I put that in here? Nope, I sure didn't. So Wednesday night show is going to be the Tulsa Madman himself, the host or the announcer for the circuit 2025. Cliff, Tulsa Madman Parvin, will be on talking about the event and his experience with it. And then we're going to hopefully have a recap with Zach Slevin from Cruise and Lose. That would be kind of fun. And then we're going to round out the show talking about naturally aspirated builds with John Paul Franks and our naturally aspirated authority, Mr. Jonathan Stone Cypher. So that'll be a good one. And, you know, just guys, can't do this without you. You guys make this whole thing go around. Thank you for being our race car friend. Thank you for being around. Thank you for the comments and shares and all that kind of stuff this morning. We really appreciate that. And then thank you so much to our sponsors: Summit Racing, Molly Motorsports, Driven Racing Oil, Car Chains 3D, Performer Built Transmissions, Howard's Cams, Sweet Patina, and Racing Junk Classifieds, and our newest media partner, PowerTube TV. You guys are amazing. Thank you all so much, and we'll see you on the next Drag Driver Pete show.
See you guys.
Bye. Awesome.